Amen. Go ahead and please see it. Well, good morning to everyone. We're visiting with us. It's great to have you with us here this beautiful Sunday morning. You know, if you, maybe you're feeling a little tired. Maybe it's been a long week. I know I woke up this morning very tired, but I had to start thinking about maybe I wish I had some more time to sleep in this morning. But then in the middle of praying, I pray, God, you know what, let me not think so much about how much sleep that I missed, but let me be grateful that I have another day. Let me be grateful that I have another day and to rejoice that I'm able to be here this morning, be able to wake up this morning, and be able to enjoy all the opportunities that do come my way. So I do think, you know, it's all a matter of perspective, so I'm not sure where you're at this morning, but I do trust and pray that you're glad to be here this morning as we spend time together as brothers and sisters, friends and family, worshiping God this morning. Amen? Or maybe you're a Saints fan and discouraged about last night. Maybe you're a Leaf fan and maybe you're very happy as I see an arm being cheered right there, as I see one over here, and as I see a beautiful robe, as I see it. No, that's Danielle's wearing a Leaf jersey, which is looks great. You know, last night we got an opportunity. We were watching part of the game last night, and the Senators were playing, of course, the Leafs. If you haven't figured that out already, and we're watching the game. Karen, myself, and Eric were watching part of it, and the Senators had the puck. They shot, and then Karen said, "No." And then Eric said, all of a sudden, I think Eric said something like, "No, bad," or some reference like that. And then he looked, so he goes, "Red, bad." And then he goes, "White." And of course, he didn't know what to say, so all he said was, "White, happy." And so, so it was all said and done. It was a good game, lots of fun. Trust that again. Let's continue our time here as we jump into God's Word. Amen? We've been singing songs, if you haven't realized already this morning. All the songs this morning have a reference about heaven. So we've been singing songs this morning about heaven, just like we've been talking about heaven over the last few months. And so today we're going to actually conclude our Sunday series on heaven. And my goal was to be able to plant some seeds in your mind, in your heart, about what heaven is going to be like. And of course, we didn't do as detailed a job about heaven, but the goal is to plant seeds so that you can do your own study, so that you can look at heaven and be excited about what awaits for you in heaven one day as a disciple. You know, there are many songs that we sing about heaven. We sing, "Don't You Want to Go to That Land?" How there's nothing but love, joy, peace in that land. You know, we sing songs that I know that my Redeemer lives. That there's over yonder stands a place prepared for me. A home, a house not made with hands, most wonderful to see. You know, we sang "I'll Fly Away." That some glad morning, when this life is over, that we will fly away to a home on God's celestial shore, but just a few more weary days and then that we will fly away to a land where joy shall never end. You know, we sing songs like, "I'm going to view that holy city," that one day we're going to see our loving Jesus. We're going to sit at the welcome table. We're going to feast on milk and honey. We're going to sing and never get tired. We're going to make our home in heaven. We're going to meet with Paul and Peter and praise our precious Savior one of these days. You know, we sing songs like "Soon and Very Soon." No more crying there. No more dying there. And we sing songs like "There is a Habitation." This world is not my home. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way where the soul of man never dies. And how there's no tears in heaven. You know, we sing songs about going to heaven. What we will do in heaven. and how we need to live to get to heaven. And of course, we just sang, when we all get to heaven, that what a day of rejoicing that will be. That what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all get to heaven. And that is the title of today's lesson, is when we all get to heaven. Because when we all get to heaven, what a party that's going to be. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and we will shout the victory. You know, of course, we've been talking about, again, what heaven will be like, what we need to do to get there, what will heaven be like. So in, I guess, our summary and our conclusion of our study series, we're going to look at, we're going to recap some things and look at seven things that we will do in heaven. Seven things that we will do in heaven. But before we continue, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the life that you've given us. Father, thank you that we were able to wake up this morning, that we're able to breathe and we're able to enjoy another day. And Father, I thank you so much that you have showered your love and blessings upon us in so many incredible ways. Father, as disciples of Jesus Christ, Father, as we strive to live our day-to-day lives, Father, we're tempted with many different things around us. But Father, I pray that you continue to give us strength, Father, to say no to ungodliness. And so that, Father, we can live lives of purity, lives of holiness, and, Father, lives of faithfulness. So that, Father, we can serve you with faithfulness, Father, until we see you one day. Father, until then, we ask that you give us the strength. Father, we ask that you watch over us. And, Father, help us to live faithful to the very end. Help us, Father, to finish the race. Father, help us to be able to live in such a way to claim the prize. And that, Father, we can look forward to being with you for all eternity. Father, as we continue to study your word here this morning, Father, I pray that your spirit can really work through me to really meet the needs of each and every heart here today. Father, I pray that you open every one of our hearts, Father, so that we can be receptive to whatever the Spirit wants us to hear this morning. So that, Father, we can have deeper convictions. So that, Father, we can make resolves to live even more faithful to you to the very end. And so that, Father, nothing will throw us off course. And that, Father, we will serve you faithfully to the very end. Father, thank you so much that we have a home in heaven. Thank you so much for sending your Son to die on the cross. So that, Father, we can be able to have an opportunity to be with you for all eternity. And, Father, help us to never forget how much you love us. Help us to never forget that incredible sacrifice. And Father, help us to live sacrificial lives as we live here on earth. Father, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. And we will continue to rejoice. We will not just rejoice one day, we will continue to rejoice, as we'll talk about later on. And in John chapter 14, we talked about a bit on this a few different times. John 14 and verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. You know the place to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Seven things that we will do in heaven. Number one, we will make our home in heaven. That we will make our home in heaven. That Jesus says he's going to prepare a place for them. He's going to prepare a room for them in his Father's house. And we will make our home in heaven one day. You know, we will live in a beautiful place built by the very hands of God, where His beauty and creativity will be present. That the same way that we see the beauty of God's creation, when we enter heaven, we will see God's creativity and God's beauty. You know, we will live in a mansion, bright and blessed. A home, a house not made with hands. Most wonderful to see. You know, when you think about a house and you think about a home, you know, you might live in a house, but sometimes it may not feel like a home. You know, for something to feel like a home, it's not just about what is built. It is about what takes place in what is built. And God has, of course, a place prepared for us, and it will be absolutely beautiful and amazing. But what will make it a home is the very presence of God. That when you think about a home, you think about a place where there's love, you think about a place where there's joy, a place where there's laughter, a place where you can go for refuge, that as you face things in the world, you can go home to be with your family, to be with your loved ones, and you could feel safe. You know, that is the kind of atmosphere, the kind of place that we will be able to experience. That we will live in our Father's house, but we will be at home with the Lord. And we will experience joy, laughter, rejoicing, and being with our Father in heaven. You know, therefore, the challenge for us is to follow Jesus. Because it says in verse 6, no one comes to the Father except through me. That Jesus is the only one who will take us to heaven. That we can't get to heaven any other way. We can't get to heaven on our own. We can't get to heaven on our good looks or our good personality or our good deeds. The only way to get to heaven is by living a life committed to following Jesus. We will make our home in heaven. Number two, we will be with the Lord forever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We will be with the Lord forever. You know, that itself is quite amazing. And we see how much God loves us, that He sent His Son to die for us. But He wants to spend eternity with us. That itself is amazing. You know, you think about someone that you would want to spend the rest of your life with, or someone you'd like to spend considerable amount of time with. You know, very few people we want to be around them all the time, especially for a long period of time. But here, we will be with the Lord forever. That the Lord wants to be with us forever. And the first lesson in this chapter 4, in verse 16, it says, for the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. You know, early disciples were not afraid to die because they were confident that if they died, they were going to spend eternity with the Lord. You know, death is only a prelude to eternal life with the Lord. And again, the price was paid so that we could spend eternity with the Lord. You know, the fact that we will be with the Lord forever, does that encourage you as a disciple? Does it encourage you to know that, hey, when I die, whenever that is, that I will be with the Lord forever? It says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. It should encourage us, where we can also encourage other, our brothers and sisters. But the question is, does it encourage us? And if not, why not? Because we will see him, we will spend time with him, we will laugh with him, rejoice with him, and experience the joy of being in his presence. That is what heaven is all about. It is about a relationship with the Lord. The presence of the Lord is the essence and most significant aspect of heaven. We will see him, and when we see him, we will shout for victory because we made it. We will be with the Lord forever. Number three, we will live in a transformed body. You know, that body that you have right now, with the aches and pains, the body that you have that maybe last week, like the Martin family, maybe you had a virus last week. We had a virus that went through our family. Everyone's up and recovered, appear to be. But we will have a body, a transformed body, that will not get sick, that will not get tired, that will not get worn out. We'll have a body that's free of joint pain, muscle pain, fatigue, backache, heart problems. We will have a transformed body that is free of all these things and so much more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, Paul helps us understand what kind of body we're going to have. Maybe right now we just love our body. We should know that, hey, when we're transformed, we're going to have a better one. I just kind of assume because, you know, for me, my body gets tired, sore, aches. I'm looking forward to having a different kind of body. But you think about, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 40, it says, there are also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And the stars differ from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable will be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. Is sown in weakness and is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. You know, we will have a transformed body. Our bodies will be changed from perishable to imperishable. Dishonor to glory, from weakness to power. That we will have a new body with the abilities beyond our wildest imaginations. And this body will be prepared to last forever. You know, when we think about Jesus raising from the dead and how he appeared to his disciples, how he had a tangible body, but he could appear and disappear at will. He could walk through walls, he could walk through closed doors. You know, we will have a transformed body like Jesus. And you think about that we will be like him. That Jesus was perfect in love, character, peace, confidence. That we will be like him. And we will have a heart like his. Because we will be like Jesus. We will live in a transformed body. Number four, we will rest from our labor. That we will rest from our labor. In Revelation chapter 14, and some of us are thinking, man, I'd like to rest from my labor right now. Or maybe Friday, that's when you think about that. You know, I want to rest from my hard week of labor. I'm going to work, doing that, living for the weekend. Revelation chapter 14. But for some, the weekend is when things get busier. In Revelation chapter 14, in verse 13, it says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." We will rest from our labor. You know, our lives in heaven will include rest. Not sure all that we will do in heaven, but we will rest from our labor. You know, we like to rest. What you do to rest, we do many different things to rest. Some like to sleep, some like to relax, and maybe read a book to rest. But we like to rest after a hard day's work, after a long week. Even as the year is winding down, we may be looking forward to the holidays so that we can rest. But think about after a hard life's work, that one day we will rest from our labor, from serving the Lord, from all that we've done to serve the Lord and so much more, that we will rest from our labor. And what's important for us to understand is that we'll rest from our labor when we all get to heaven. Until then, we need to make sure that we continually work hard for the Lord every day of our lives. Amen? Number five, we will be free from all pain. We will be free from all pain. In Revelation chapter 21, yes, we'll be free from physical pain. We'll have our transformed body. We'll be free from all kinds of pain. In Revelation chapter 21, in verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." You know, in heaven, we will be free from all kinds of pain. That's why we can say no tears in heaven, because there'll be no tears in heaven. That God will wipe away every tear from our eye. There'll be no more death. We don't have to experience the pain that we feel in our hearts when we lose a loved one. There'll be no mourning. There'll be no crying. There'll be no pain. Because there'll be no tears in heaven will be known, and no sorrows given. There'll be no sadness. All will be gladness. And there'll be nothing but joy, peace, and love in that land. Because we'll be free from all kinds of pain. And we experience pain in many different ways as we live our lives here on this earth. We may have experienced some pain in our hearts last week. But there will be no more pain. And we can look forward to being in heaven where we will be free of all kinds of pain. Number six, we will meet with the faithful. We will meet with the faithful. You know, you think about someone saying, we will meet with Paul and Peter. We'll meet with Abraham, Moses. We'll have a family reunion with fellow disciples. That we will meet and be with the faithful. Disciples who have passed on. We will be united with them in heaven. And it'll be a family reunion. And I'm not sure what that means for you. Sometimes family reunions are great. When you think about physical family reunions. Sometimes family reunions are not as great. But this is going to be quite a spiritual family reunion. And we will meet with the faithful. We will meet Paul for the first time. We'll meet Peter, Abraham, Moses, the list goes on. That we will be able to meet with them and see them. Maybe even join in some kind of discussion. You know, I remember at times in my Christian life when I thought, you know what? If something was going to happen to me, if I was to pass on, I remember thinking at times, you know, I'd like to go heroically. I mean, I'd like to go heroically. When you think about when you see people in the scriptures and you see how, you know what, disciples, because of their faithfulness, you know, they were sawed in two. You know, you'll meet that disciple. And of course, with their transformed body, whatever is sawed will be put back together again. But I remember a time thinking, you know what, if I was to go, I want to go heroically. Like those in the scriptures. You think about those who were fed to the lions. Those who were sawed in two. And I remember thinking one day when I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me, hey, you know, you need to make sure you take care of your cholesterol. And I remember thinking, you know what? Is that how I'd want to go? But I'm going to get together with the faithful. They're going to share war stories about how they were sawed in two, how they were fed to the lions. And as we're gathering together, Howard, what happened to you? I ate too much. I had cholesterol problems and I died. I remember thinking, oh, I'd like to go a little bit more heroically than that. Because we'll share some great stories with the faithful. And it'll be quite a time to be with them. And last but not least, we will worship God forever. We will worship God forever. In Revelation chapter 5, people who love God, people who love God on this earth, could never be bored in heaven. I do believe there's a direct correlation. But how we are now with God will determine how we are with God in heaven if that's where we go. In Revelation chapter 5, you know, we will worship God forever. In 5 verse 13, it says, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and on the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. In Revelation chapter 7, we'll continue in verse 9. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. We will worship God forever. You know, most people know that we'll worship God in heaven. But at times we fail to grasp the thrill of it. You know, multitudes will gather. All nations, languages will gather to sing praise to God for His greatness, His wisdom, His power, His grace, and mighty works of redemption. You know, when I think about going to San Antonio a couple years ago for the conference, you know, what an amazing time of worship. Seeing 20,000 people gather together at the, I believe, the AT&T Center, where the San Antonio Spurs play. And we met together to worship and sing songs to God. You know, when we think about what heaven will be like, you know, we will see people from all different walks of life. The same way in San Antonio, we saw people from all around the world. The young, the old, people from different countries, all gathered together with one voice, worshiping God. And when we all get to heaven, we will be overwhelmed by God's magnificence. And we will fall on our face and praise God. You know, we can't look at heaven as a church service, because meeting God will be more exciting than a church service. Also, we can't look at it as a great event, because it will be more exciting than any event that you have ever went to in your life. We will not have to deny ourselves to sing and worship. Sometimes we come to church and we deny ourselves. We deny ourselves to come to church. We deny ourselves to sing and worship. And when times when we come, we can be distracted by our afternoon plans. But we won't be looking at our watches. We won't be looking at our phones to see what time it is, or wondering how much longer worship will be. Because we will lose ourselves in worship. Because we will be in the presence of God. Heaven will not be boring. And we will worship the Lord forever. You know, God has revealed a glimpse to us of what heaven will be like and what we will do in heaven. We can only imagine and continue to imagine what God has in store for those who live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. When all is said, heaven will be worth it. All that we experience in this life, that we will be amazed when we come into the presence of God and when we make our home in heaven. And heaven will absolutely be worth it. You know, when we all get to heaven, we will make our home in heaven. We will be with the Lord forever. We will live in a transformed body. We will rest from our labor. We will experience the absence of pain. We will meet with the faithful. And we will worship God forever. And we will do so much more. Therefore, like those who have gone before us, we need to make sure we look forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Then let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and have Him as the Lord of our life. Then let us set our minds and hearts on things above and not on earthly things. That we do not chase after the treasures of the world and allow this treasures of this world to have a grip on us. Because this world is not our home. But let us seek true treasures that are stored up for us in heaven. Let us live to do the Father's will on earth as it is in heaven. And let us live in light of heaven and allow it to affect our priorities, our afternoon plans, our ambitions, values, our relationships, how we spend our money, our time, and every moment of our lives. And let us not allow anything to throw us off course, to let nothing move us, but to always give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor is not in vain. And let us fight the good fight, no matter how hard it is. Let us fight the good fight, finish the race, and receive the crown that awaits us in heaven. Amen.